Preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
God, you have not left us comfortless. You have not left us alone. You sent your Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to be with us. And there are times, Lord, you manifest your presence and your anointing, and we can sense and feel your closeness. Lord, I sense that this morning, God, that you are near us, that you will be with us, even in trouble and trials and tribulations and persecutions and difficulties. You promised you would never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, that's for your people who love you and obey you and follow you. And we thank you, God, for that promise. And we know Jesus, your name, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the true God Almighty, Creator. In your name is power. In your name, Lord, we find refuge and strength. In your name, we find forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. No man will enter into heaven. No woman will enter into heaven except by believing in you, what you did on the cross, in your resurrection, and having faith enough to turn from sin and follow you. We pray that many listening and watching today, if they're not ready, they will get ready. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. We welcome those of you here to Fire and Grace Church this morning, those listening by Blog Talk Radio, those watching by Facebook Live, YouTube, Periscope, whatever is going on this morning. Kevin's got all kinds of things going on. I don't know what everything's going on, but we welcome you this morning. Got a lot on my heart. I want everybody to turn this morning, first of all, to Luke chapter 21. Kevin, you can go ahead and put up that Sputnik Russian article. And we're going to go through those in just a second. But we're going to be all over the Bible this morning. My message is entitled, The Trap is Set. And I have a little illustration here, some traps this morning. We'll deal with that in a second. Just wanted it to get imprinted on your mind. And between me and Paul, I don't know, Kevin, you may have used these, but we found out that these traps work. They catch animals. We have seen their success, but we'll talk about that in a second. But Luke chapter 21, I want to talk to you this morning. Again, kind of an update on where we are in June of 2016 concerning end time prophecy. Because what I'm discovering out there, and I preached a message probably, I think it was about 6 months ago. It was in November of 2015. I even looked it up this morning to make sure I knew when it was. But it was called The Calm Before the Storm. And even though there's been some shaking, some chaos, some terrorist attacks across the world. We know Belgium bombing and some other things going on. Still here in the United States, I think, and in most Western countries, there's still a sense that everything's running as normal. Everything's going to be okay. It's no big deal. And still, I think, within the American church, especially the Western American church, is still oblivious to where we really are in the scheme of things. And I wanted to bring that out this morning because so many pastors and Christians are just the blind leading the blind. And Jesus used a term, he said, as a snare or a trap, this is going to come upon the whole world. This is in Luke chapter 12. But the Bible is also clear. You know, Jesus used that. It's going to come as a snare or a trap. It's going to catch the unsuspecting animal by surprise. Jesus talked about the end times would come upon us like a thief in the night. Not upon those who are paying attention. Not upon those who read and study their Bible and actually look at the signs and the warnings that Jesus gave us. We're going to look and see where the Bible says that those who are paying attention, who are watching and praying and studying their Bibles, would not be caught by surprise. But what's so sad now is there's a lot of people out there, I mean, even pastors and Christians, who think they know about end time prophecy and they think they know where we are, but they really don't know. I'm going to give you one illustration before we read this today. Let's just put this up. This is Sputnik News. This is out of Moscow. And you can just leave it right there. It says the Israeli ambassador to Moscow, Zvi Hafez, I guess that's how you say it, stated that Israel is ready to sign peace treaties with all neighbors, including Palestine. Now, somebody on my Facebook, I posted this article the other day, and of course, scroll up a little bit. Let's read this right here. It says there, quote, the ambassador, he said, we signed peace treaties with Egypt and Jordan. We are ready to sign peace treaties with all our neighbors, including our closest neighbor to us, Palestine. And you have to remember, that is a key right there. The Palestinians, that signing of that treaty is the key. We have no reasons to avoid signing the international treaty with Saudi Arabia and other states. We would be glad for that, Hafez told the Rossiya, whatever, 24 television channel in Russia. Now, this is, you know, the AP picked this up, so this has been in other news as well. But someone on my Facebook or messaged me or whatever commented and said, well, how do we know which peace treaty is the one? Because, you know, Israel has signed a peace treaty with Jordan and with Egypt. And what if they sign one with Saudi Arabia or with the coalition of Arab nations, the Arab League? What if they go with that? Listen, the Bible is very clear. There will be a peace treaty, but it gives us a significant clue as to which one there saw what we call the last 7 years. The Great Tribulation, the time leading up to the Battle of Armageddon and the Second Coming, there's a key, and it has to do with the dividing of the land of Israel. Now, I'm going to give you some scriptures. Let's put these scriptures up as we go through this, just to show you that the Antichrist, and you can just do them in the order that I gave you, the Antichrist and the Antichrist world government will, it says, come with peace, proclaiming peace. And the Bible told us thousands of years ago, that in the end time, before the Messiah would return, that we would have a peace treaty that would divide the land of Israel. And that peace treaty would be with the Antichrist. Let's look. This is Daniel 8, 23 through 25. It says that in the latter time of their kingdom, and this is talking about nations like Grecian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, but it talks about all of those empires will basically be existing, but in different ways in the end. But he says, in the latter time of their kingdom, the world kingdoms, when the transgressors are come to the full, that means when sinners have reached the end of the line, when God says, the cup of sin is full, and I'm done, I'm finished, okay? He says, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. This is the Antichrist, the final world leader who will lead the UN world government that's coming, and a coalition of 10 kings. And it says, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. So he's saying here that they will be, the Antichrist will be against the holy people. That is, against true Christians and against those that God has not forsaken, and that is the Jewish people as well. It goes on to say, and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. I mean, this is a phrase that, it almost seems like it's contradictory. But the Bible's telling us that the Antichrist and the Antichrist world government, which will be the United Nations when it comes into its full power, that they will use peace, peace talks, and the subject of peace and peace treaties to basically get in a position for, so that they may destroy Christianity, the people of God, and get ready to fight Jesus when he returns. That's really what this is about. But it says, by peace shall destroy many, but he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. So this is clearly an end time prophecy about the Antichrist. By peace he will destroy many, but he shall stand up against the prince of princes, the Lord Jesus, but he shall be broken without hand at the second coming. And the reason it says that the Antichrist and the Antichrist world government and the armies of the Antichrist will be broken without hand is that the Bible says in Revelation 19 that out of Jesus' mouth will go a sharp sword and it will slay them. Okay? And some of them will be consumed by fire at his coming. They don't like, you know, the world doesn't like this. The sinners, the unbelievers, the skeptics, they don't like to hear that God is going to come to this earth to judge and destroy those who continue to sin and do wickedness and rebel against him. There is an end to sin. There is an end to doing what you want. There is an end to being disobedient, being a rebel. There is an end. Now, whether it's the end of your life or when Jesus comes, but when Jesus comes back, when God brings the Messiah here, he comes, steps down. When he comes back, that's it. It's over, right? No second chances. No, I'm going to get right when I see him coming, right? Let's keep going. Here's a few other verses. Daniel 9:27, and he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant or treaty with many for 1 week or 7 years, and in the midst of that week or that seven-year period, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, that is the renewed Jewish worship and sacrifices. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even till the consummation, which these are all big words, but the consummation means the very end, that shall be determined, shall be poured upon the desolate. So here it talks about a treaty. The Antichrist will make a covenant or a treaty. And we know from study of the scriptures that this week is mentioned here, not 7 days, but 7 years, because the Hebrews used sevens in a lot of ways, but sometimes you had weeks of days, weeks of years. And so this is weeks of years. Let's go to the next one, Daniel 11:21-23. And this was talking about, when it says in his estate, this was talking about Alexander the Great, who was the leader of the dominating world power of the Grecian Empire. But it says that someone will stand up in his estate, meaning someone will stand up and take that authority and that leadership of the world. And it says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he, the Antichrist, shall come in peaceably. Do you see that? He shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, that means smooth talk, and with the armies of a flood shall they be overflown before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. So you see that. Now, let's go to Joel. Oh, and here's the rest of that. I'm sorry. And after the league or treaty made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And I put it there, the Palestinians. Small group. He's going to use a small group of people to bring him to power peacefully and with smooth flatteries. Now, how do I know this? Let's go to the book of Joel, chapter 3. He's talking about the last days here and what will lead up to him gathering people to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, the Valley of Jehoshaphat is the Valley of Megiddo, okay? And that's where the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. It says, behold, in those days and in that time, and this is directly a last days, last 7 years, end time prophecy, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, so when I bring the Jews back to Israel and Jerusalem, 1948, and then they took Jerusalem, 1967. So we have a specific time period here. We know we're in the last days. Look, for sure we know from 1948 and 1967, those two events, Israel becoming a nation and Israel taking Jerusalem in the Six-Day War, we entered the last generation. That's me. I was born in 1967. So you can debate it all you want. The Bible is very, very, very specific. So we would not miss the time period. God wanted the last generation to know they were the last generation. You understand that? He wanted us to know because he understood, and because God knows everything that was going to happen, he understood the great amount of sin that would be taking place. He said sin would abound, and it would abound so much the love of many would grow cold. There would be so much sin everywhere. We would become hardened to it. We would just become apathetic and indifferent to it. I mean, last night, listen, folks, I watched a video that none of you should watch. I watched a live leak video of an ISIS executioner take a 14-year-old girl who was a Muslim like he was, but because she wouldn't do Islam the way he wanted her to do it, he strangled her to death on camera. And this is going on everywhere. And we sit in our homes and get upset if we missed the latest TV show. All right? But we're in it, folks. We're in it. ISIS, Islam, the Great Persecution, this has been prophesied and we're living in it. But see, the reason I'm preaching this today is because I am seeing so much indifference in Christians, not just saying that, well, I don't, you know, we got plenty of time. It's no big deal. We don't need to worry about this. We don't need to think about this. We don't talk about this. But really, a lot of Christians show their indifference and their apathy just by how they live. I mean, if we really believe that we're living in the last of the last days, in the last years, in the last time, in the time that God's judgment and wrath is going to come, that America is going to fall into chaos, that the mark of the beast is going to rise. If we really believe that, what are we doing about it? Are we changing? Are we getting sin out of our lives? Are we repenting? Are we seeking to get closer to Jesus? Are we studying our Bibles? Are we watching and preparing? Are we preparing our homes? Are we preparing our provisions for when things get rough? Are we preparing for persecution that we may go through? A lot of you don't realize that we're going to be, some of us are going to be shipped off to concentration camps. You don't want to hear that, but Jesus warned. He said, if they've done it to me, they will do it to you. Some of you they will put in prison. Some of you they will persecute. Some of you they will kill. This is what Jesus said. If they hated me, they will hate you. Don't be shocked by this. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Some of us are going to go through this stuff. You understand? This is important to realize. Check that right there. I don't know what's happening. Here's what he said. Let's read this. For behold, in those days and in that time, the last days, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, the battle of Armageddon, and I will plead with them there for my people, and that my people is not just the Jewish people, but also the Christians who have been, the born-again Christians who have been grafted into the tree. He says, I'm going to plead for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Do you see that? Part of this that triggers God's final anger and wrath to begin to move this thing to the end, he says, they're going to part my land. Now, further down, and I didn't put these verses, but further down in this, he even mentions that one of the group of people that he's going to have to judge for this parting of the land is the Philistines, Philistia. Well, guess what? In Arabic, Palestinian is pronounced Philistine. And the Palestinians or the Philistines lived on the coast of Israel down on the south coast called Gaza. Folks that tell me, I don't believe the Bible was written by men, I just say, you have no clue what you're saying. The specifics with which God gave us hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of specific prophecies of his first coming and also his second coming. There's no other book like this, folks. There are mathematical, it's just impossible mathematically for one book to predict with such specific accuracy thousands of prophecies over millennia, centuries, and they're coming to pass. He said the problem in the end will be they will be parting my land and it will be Gaza. How specific is that? It'll be when I bring my people back, my Jewish people, when I bring them back, they've been scattered among the nations. When I bring them back to the land, the second time, the first time was after the Babylonian captivity in 586 BC. The second time was in 1948. Isaiah 11, when I bring them back the second time, it is a sign to the nations that the end is here. The last generation is here. You can like it, you cannot like it, but it is biblical prophecy, fact, and it's happening in the world, and you can't change that. It's happening whether you want it to happen or not. It's happening. The Antichrist will rise to power soon, very soon. Let's put up, Lord, you got just some of those articles on the mark of the beast. Most of you don't even know this. By 2020, how many years away is that? Less than that, 3.5. It's June. Right? 3.5 years. A lot of 3.5 years talked about in the Bible. But by 2020, they are going to have, I can't even get into that one. Y'all can't handle that yet. By 2020, the banking industry, all biometric payments will be by biometrics. Put up the DARPA one. This is DARPA just from this last year. DARPA's new neural implant. You know what that is? Brain implant. Talking about you'll be able to control your computer by an interface planted in your brain. And DARPA, they've already had this since the 1990s, okay? IBM 2020 thing, they were already testing it on inmates illegally. They've been testing this crap on people to see if they can control them and see if they can control their behavior and all that. So if you think they've been testing this stuff and realize it's true, because a document, a private memo got out from IBM back in 95. But here we go, DARPA, which is the Government Technology Development Agency, says that now they've got them where they don't even have to do surgery. They don't even have to do surgery to implant them in your brain now. And here's what's interesting. The Bible always foretold this. The Bible said in Revelation 13 that in the last days we would move from cash and bartering, we would move from the system we've always had of thousands of years to a new economic system with something implanted in your right hand or in your head that would control buying and selling. Now, this is the Bible, 2,000-year-old prophecy, Revelation chapter 13. In the last days, they will move away. The Antichrist and the false prophet will move away from cash, move away from credit cards and debit cards and everything else, and move to something implanted in your hand or your forehead. Now, you know, we've been looking at the RFID chip that they can plant into your, you know, inject with a big needle into your hand. But now they have them that are edible. Now they have them where they can shoot up your nose. Now they have them where they can travel through your arteries and go to where they want them to go. And people say the Bible's not true. It was just written by men. How could mere men have known 2,000 years ago that the ability would come for mankind to put something in their hand or in their brain that would be able to control global financial transactions? You would have to have computers, small devices, and ability to communicate and to have numbers and information in these things in your hand and in your forehead, and ways to make sure you are who you are. So now, guess what? How you're going to be identified now? Retinal scans, fingerprints, facial recognition, hand, forehead. Even the biometric identification, your hand, your eyes. Right? Don't tell me the Bible's just a book written by men full of contradictions and errors. No, it's not. You just don't want to believe it because you want to continue in sin. You don't want to admit there's an end and there's a judgment day and there's accounting you're going to give for your life. It's all over the place. Now go back to Luke chapter 21. These things are all over the place. I mean, I could go to one after the other. Oh, go to the Apple boss real quick. Apple, you know, Tim Cook, he's an Auburn grad. Auburn University graduate, homosexual as well. But he's the CEO of Apple now. Look what he said. Apple boss, next generation of children will not know what money is. And really, he's being generous. It's not the next generation. This one's soon going to be without it. And I don't even have time to go through. There was a secret meeting not too long ago in New York. Big bankers, world leaders, get rid of cash. Right? Why do you think they want to get rid of cash? Exactly. Can't control what I go out and buy. If I have cash, they don't know I go out and buy something. I go out and buy something from you, they don't know where I bought it from you. They want to know everything, want to control everything. That's what the system's about. Let's go back to Luke. Get my point. Luke 21, where I told you to start. See, I believe that what Jesus in Matthew 24 said were the beginning of sorrows, I believe that started in 2014. And I believe the Lord spoke to me. Now, there are some people out there that have traditional views about end-time Bible prophecy, and they believe that the beginning of sorrows is the beginning of the 7 years. I don't believe that. The Bible doesn't say that, so you can't make up crap, right? You can't just make it up if you want to. You got to go with what it says. Jesus said there would be a beginning of sorrows, a beginning of labor pains. Now, you ladies that have had children, when labor begins, what? It's very slow, right? I mean, I know you wish that in the beginning it would move along, right? But it's very slow. It starts with a little bit, contraction happens, and then it's a long time before the next one, and they're not as strong, but you know, you're getting a warning that, hey, it's time to get the midwife, or it's time to get to the hospital, or, you know, we're getting close to having a baby, right? But as that begins to progress, what happens? Those contractions get closer together, and they get more intense, right? See, I believe the Lord spoke to me very clearly and told me that the beginning of sorrows began in 2014. And what's interesting, in 2014, he spoke this to me in 2013. And then he gave me the word unprecedented. He said the word for 2014 would be unprecedented. And immediately we had the coldest winter in North American history. It broke records in 49 states, right? And the word was unprecedented, right? And then it just went one thing after another. Russia invades Crimea, unprecedented, right? In our lifetime, unprecedented. Then we see Russia going into Syria. Then we see all these things, earthquakes, large earthquakes in just the first few months of 2014, major earthquakes increased, doubled, it said. And we haven't even talked about, most people are completely oblivious to how many volcanoes are erupting around the world. And God talked about in the Word in the last days that the mountains would smoke. Right? But Jesus said at the beginning of sorrows, he said there'll be earthquakes in divers places. Mega earthquakes, actually, it says. Famine, pestilences. We're there. Okay? That's in Matthew 24. Luke 21, he says it this way. Let's read verse 7. And they ask him, say, Master, when shall these things be? What will be the sign? What sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? And, of course, Matthew 24 says, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes, mega in the Greek, mega earthquakes, shall be in divers places, famines, pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Let's skip down. He says in verse 20, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed or surrounded with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Many people believe that happened in the first century, but there's a problem because it goes on to say in verse 22, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. So it wasn't the first century, AD 70 AD, when Jerusalem was surrounded and destroyed. This is the end time one. Verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, looking after those things which are coming upon the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So he said, when you see these things begin to happen, you better start paying attention, right? Now, Jesus said this. I want you to go over to verse 33. For those of you out there believing this nonsense about the Mandela effect, here's a verse for you. I'm not even going to explain that to y'all. Don't even worry about it right now. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's what God said, period. Forever settled in heaven. The word of God hasn't changed. It's not going anywhere. Verse 34, Jesus said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, the word surfeiting, you know what it means? The word surfeiting means having a hangover, headache and pain from a hangover. Right? How many of you know you can be drunk and not necessarily have a hangover? I've been drunk and not had a bad hangover, right? But if you're having bad hangovers, you're getting drunk a lot and you're getting drunk severely, right? So he tells you. Surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Now, what's interesting about the word cares, it means distractions. Distractions. This is what I see in the American church right now. This is what I see in America. This is why we don't have revivals, because I'm going to tell you, most church services today, all they tell you is how to focus, how to deal with stress at work, how to be the best you can be. Every day of Friday, your best life now. I watched Joel on the Huffington Post interview the other day. They always, Huffington Post, they're always going to ask them about homosexuality and where they stand. That's just not something I talk about. Ask me about homosexuality on Huffington Post interview. I'm going to say it's sin, it's perversion, it's an abomination, and it will damn your soul to hell if you live in it. But Jesus came to give you life and forgive you and set you free from that if you'll turn to him. That's what a preacher of the gospel ought to be doing. But no, we get Joel and Rick Warren and all these other people, these mech churches out here. They know how to stamp out the same meal over and over and over and over again, and it's not real meat. Right? No, real meat from the Word of God, let me tell you something, real meat from the Word of God ought to scare the hell out of you. Real meat from the Word of God ought to scare you to death to get out of sin and get right with God. Real meat from the Word of God makes you go, wow, I didn't know that. Pastors are not feeding their flock, they're feeding themselves. They give you a little feel-good sermonette for Christianettes. And then they get your big tithe and offering because you feel good about yourself. And they go into their big mansion. And you go home thinking you're right with God, thinking you got a meal, and you didn't get anything but cotton candy and a carnival. Right? Jesus said, you better take heed to yourselves. Don't think you can live party lifestyle. Don't think you can live in drunkenness. Don't think you can live distracted from him and his word with everything else in this world system, and that you're going to be ready for what's going to come upon this world as a snare quickly. See, if you're caught up in this sin, you're caught up in this lukewarm, dead Christianity, what is about to come upon this world will come upon you that quick, and you're trapped. You're not ready. See? I got one right here. That one's new. We need to oil it. Jesus, no joke. Jesus said, as a snare, as a trap. What happens? The little bunny rabbit sniffing around the little carrot you set out there, thinking everything's all right. Until the snare grabs it. Right? This is, most Christians are going to be this way. Because listen, most Christians believe the lie and they think they're going to be raptured out of here before any of this happens. Most Christians in this world, it's all about work. It's all about money. It's all about how fast they can run to the lake or to the beach or to this. It's all about all kind of stuff except about Jesus. Now, not that any of that stuff's wrong, but is Jesus first? Is prayer time a priority? Is worship, worshiping God and drawing near to God, is that a priority? Is getting sin and compromise and worldliness out of your life, is that a priority? Do you fear God? Do you recognize where we are and what we're living in? He said, some of you are going to be dragged into prison. Listen to this. The Bible says this, Acts chapter 2, and in Joel chapter 2, God said in the last days he would pour out his spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters would prophesy, and they would see visions, and they would dream dreams. And he said, what follows this? Young people having dreams and visions. I'm going to share one with you in just a second. Young people having dreams and visions, what follows this? It says blood, fire, and pillars of smoke. That's Acts chapter 2. The warnings are coming from every direction. Just yesterday, I'm preparing this message. The Lord's saying people are still asleep to me. People are still walking around like zombies. Christian, not recognizing the time we're living in, how short time is, how serious things are becoming. And here, Marlene's little, and Paula Marlene's little niece in Miami, who's not even grown up in church, how old is she? 14 years old, calls Marlene or texts you about a dream she had. Now listen to this, folks, and then we're going to play, have that video ready. I got to pull it up, I guess, here in my... Did you email it or text it to us? Yeah. Well? Huh? Oh, yeah, here we go. Here's a 14-year-old girl from Miami, niece of Paul and Marlene. Here's what she said. She had a dream. And this is a girl not going to church. She's not listening to my preaching every Sunday. So here's a son and daughter. Here's a young one. Here's a prophecy. Here's a warning for you. The Bible says don't despise prophesying. Quench not the spirit. Here's what this young lady said. I keep thinking about her as a little girl, but she's a young lady now, isn't she? She says to her aunt, she says, good morning, Tia. So I'm up and it's currently 6:53. I'm up at this time because I got another dream. This one was another vivid one. I woke up in bed, and my mom started shaking me, telling me to wake up. Wake up. I woke up and was confused as to why she was waking me up. She said, pack only what you need and nothing else. And I asked, where are we going? And she kissed my head and said, only God can be there for us at this time. And you can only trust God. And I blacked out. She said, and Eric, mom's boyfriend, was in my room. I was packing bags with him. He said, your mom is going to have a lot to worry about. So I think as the oldest, she said, I want to talk about this to you. He said, there was a mass genocide in Russia. This is very interesting. 14-year-old knows nothing about everything that's going on in the world. She said, there was a mass genocide in Russia, and the people who did it are coming for America. Now they warned Russia ahead of time and Russia did not listen. I don't want us to be caught in the crossfire when this happens. He said we would be going out into the woods, and he'd tell my brothers and my sisters that we were only camping Then I blacked out and saw three horsemen. And I blacked out, and we were in these hotel-looking rooms. There was a siren that said, all children report downstairs. My mom was on the floor bawling and kissing my brothers and my sister. And she kissed me on the head and whispered, remember, you are a child of God, and there is no need to bow down to anyone else, for he is the true king. Only he is the true king. And then soldiers came, and we were rushed out. The strangest part was that the soldiers kind of looked like our soldiers, American soldiers. I prayed and asked God to give me wisdom to help me understand and to be able to piece these dreams together. I asked for courage in order to not be afraid. Little by little, I'm realizing God is asking me to be one of his soldiers. I think America, and then she says, might be America's end. 14 years old. Now, I want you to listen. You think Pastor Dean's crazy? You think, oh, this is just a kid. This is not a prophecy from God. Here's a montage of news reports. See, I started preaching about the concentration camps being built in America back in 2010 because Nancy's friend worked for the Department of Homeland Security, and she had dinner with her, and she told her, they're building these camps. She goes, and I know they're for Christians. Now, this was from an ICE agent, a Department of Homeland Security agent, before we even heard about this or looked this up on the internet or anything. I didn't know anything about this. I have a witness in this church who's worked for Halliburton building a FEMA camp. President Obama just went on and saying, basically letting us know there's going to be a disaster. Run to your nearest FEMA camp. Let me just tell you, don't. So if you don't believe me, you don't believe the prophecy of this little girl, you don't believe your Bible, some of you are going to be led to prison, is what he said. Americans, you need to get a grip on how bad it is and how far along we are in this thing. Go ahead and play this clip here.
Planned another closing message, but I feel compelled to say what I'm about to say. Now, I risk sounding like a conspiracy theorist, but it's no longer a theory. What I'm about to say is fact. The secret organizations of the world power elite are no longer secret. They have planned and are now leading us into a one-world communist government.
Executive orders by President Obama has sparked controversy on both sides of the political aisle. The National Defense Resources Preparedness Executive Order was signed quietly Friday night. Gives the president the power to control U.S. resources.
The Rules Committee is going to meet in the House. They are going to come up with a rule that makes it okay for them to do a same-day bill. So they'll pass this rule. It's, believe it or not, called martial law.
This will give the president of the United States the authority to declare basically martial law during times of peace.
There are new disturbing developments out of Washington tonight regarding the president's belief that he has the legal authority to assassinate U.S. citizens. Incredibly enough, it appears that our commander-in-chief actually believes that authority exists not only on foreign soil, but right here on American soil as well.
But Senators McCain and Levin have added this legislation, which would authorize the president to declare the entire United States of America, all 50 states and all territories, to be a battlefield.
Right.
Even though there's no battle, thanks be to God.
Well, no, sure, and fair is different.
And that would authorize him to use commander-in-chief authority in the United States, to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
Particularly to hear President Obama claim the power to keep people in prison indefinitely with no charges against them, no conviction, no sentence, just imprisonment.
Joining us now is former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino. Dan, thanks a lot for joining us. What do you mean there's no such thing as gun control, only people control? Tell me what that means.
Tucker, this is part of your ideological ploy by this administration. They're not being authentic with America, whether it's the sequester, health care, or the gun control issue. What they do is they manipulate an emotional crisis, a national emotional crisis, to further an ideological agenda which involves the evaporation, the slow disintegration of your civil rights, your liberties, your ability to live and let live. And it's a disturbing pattern that, frankly, is really starting to get under my skin.
U.S. is funneling money into tracking systems that are threatening to make the very concept of privacy a thing of the past. It could mean people's every move being used against them to keep them under surveillance.
The information age was an era nearly everybody embraced. But today's surveillance age, experts say, is a reality almost no one can escape.
David, why does the DHS need 450 million hollow point bullets?
That kind of ammo that they purchased from ATK, hollow point ammunition, as you had explained, it's designed to, you know, tear through human flesh and then expand. It's designed to kill people. This is not the optimal kind of ammo you would buy for target practice. It's more expensive and it's more precise.
Do you think this is a sign that they're preparing for some sort of mass civil unrest?
They have an open bid right now, DHS, for even more ammunition, for 175 million rounds of 223 caliber rifle ammo, almost identical to the ammunition used by NATO peacekeeping forces. So that's very interesting. Are they planning on some kind of widespread economic unrest in the U.S. that would require NATO forces to help us out?
$500 million in surplus military weaponry from the Pentagon, which is authorized through the Pentagon's 1033 program. During the late 70s, Congress passed legislation called Posse Comitatus, barring the military from operating on American soil. And in the early 80s, there was an effort to circumvent that in Congress by arming police with military-grade weaponry. And now we're seeing that play out in the streets. People in the inner city in the U.S. have been experiencing this. So civilians in the U.S. are now up against basically military-style policing.
The battle against terrorism involves all of us. Everybody in this country is a potential terrorist.
The Department of Homeland Security sends law enforcement agencies across the country warning about the potential for an increase in right-wing extremist activity. It warns about groups and individuals dedicated to single issues like abortion, immigration, and gun rights.
Tonight, our focus is on every American's right to freedom of expression and freedom of religion. It's the Christians who are under siege by government officials and anti-religion groups who think Christmas and Christianity have no business in the public arena.
The Department of Defense has just issued a new list of extremists that should be watched. And on that, in fact, number one, past the Muslim Brotherhood, past Hamas, Hezbollah, number one, evangelical Christians.
Begin tonight with a newly leaked U.S. Army military police training manual for what they are calling civil disturbance operations. The Army manual outlines the plan to kill rioters and demonstrators in America. That's right. They have plans to confiscate our firearms and kill American citizens on U.S. soil. This during a mass civil unrest, I guess, shooting innocent civilians, perhaps. And it goes on to describe how prisoners will be processed through internment camps. Wow. So there you have it. Our own military being trained for armed conflict with U.S. citizens. We're being trained to confiscate our guns and preparations to process us into camps during civil unrest.
A pretty scary scene along the Chicago River turns out to be a military training exercise.
There was nothing routine that folks reported about seeing the jarring, as they witnessed the jarring scene of at least three Black Hawk helicopters flying at times in close order formation.
Just in, a military drill in downtown Miami, complete with these Black Hawk helicopters, elite soldiers and police officers swarming the streets.
if you take a look, swing back over here, this may be involved in this training or not. Again, let me tell you what all of this is that we know of. It's a joint military training exercise involving local police, also military.
The sound of Army helicopters and the sound of gunfire created a lot of concern this afternoon in one Houston neighborhood.
There were armed men in fatigues, plenty of weapons, and what many thought were real live rounds.
There's a little bit of the montage. And folks, just so you know, I researched this out. I have the documents from the U.S. Army website for civilian labor camps. I found the article in Market Watch 2006, Halliburton, former president of Halliburton, Dick Cheney. Sound familiar? Former vice president under George Bush. Got the bid to build camps. Trey worked for them. This is not a joke. Many people, this is going to come upon them as a snare. There's prophecies being given about war on American soil, about a war against the people of America. And if you are the 3% that believe in the Second Amendment, if you are the 3% that believe in the freedom of religion and freedom of speech, the First Amendment, if you dare say, hey, you're not taking my gun, you're on the list. I just saw another one, article I was reading last night. The United Nations has mandated a new thing where they're mandating that every school in the world, really, prepare their children for global citizenship. This is not a game anymore. So, I wanted you to see that. It's going to come as a snare. Now, go with me to one more passage, and we'll finish this morning. Go to 1 Thessalonians Chapter 5. See, right now everybody thinks everything's all right, and it looks that way a little bit. All right? But there's a trigger event coming. You hear what I'm saying? What triggered, like these traps right here? The traps have to be triggered. They're set. That's why I called this morning, Trap is Set. It's set. The trigger events are coming. They're going to be big. They're going to be massive. I don't doubt that the earthquake that's coming in the northwest, right off the shores of Portland, Oregon, I don't doubt that that earthquake could actually be man-made when it happens. I had a dream years ago of them planting nuclear bombs down at the tectonic plates, and I found out that actually the U.S. government, along with the New Zealand government, a long time ago, tested that to create what they called a tsunami weapon. So I had a dream about this before I ever found out that we had tried this before. But now with the new submarines and the things that we can take down to great depths, there's no doubt in my mind they could plant a nuclear device on a tectonic plate and actually cause an earthquake and a tsunami. It is even speculated that the Japanese earthquake in 2011 was man-made attack on Japan. But regardless, things are going to come down the pike. Obama, MSN article, Microsoft Network article this week said that Obama's going to be the president to announce that we have made contact with aliens, that he will do it before he leaves office. Obama was warning of chaos and attacks and problems just this week. Let me tell you something. If he's talking about it, it's because he knows some things, right? So let me just say that God doesn't want, if you're walking with him, he doesn't want you to be caught in the snare. He doesn't want you to be caught by surprise. And I'm going to prove it to you. The final passage we'll look at, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, or verse 2 we'll go to. He says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Well, a thief, what's that? You're caught by surprise, right? You're not looking for a thief to come. You're caught off guard, right? You don't know when it's going to happen. He says here, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, peace and security, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunk, or that be drunken, are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith," and that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, "love, loving each other and our enemies, loving God and loving each other enough to obey God's commandments. For a helmet, the hope of salvation." And it says, "For God's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, a lot of people take that verse and they think, well, that means we're going to be pre-tribulation rapture. And I tell them, no, God's wrath and tribulation in the world and persecution and attacks from the devil, it's two different things. But here's the thing. He told us, verse 4, it's going to come upon the world as a snare. It's going to come as a thief in the night. He says, "But you, brethren, you are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief." It should not. You see that? If your Bible doesn't say should, you need to get the correct Bible. Should not. If you're a born-again believer, if you're following Jesus, if you're in the Scriptures, you should not be caught by surprise. Don't be caught in the trap. Listen to me. Some people are going to be caught in adultery when this all hits. They'll be living as an adulterer. Some people are going to be caught because they can't give up weed. Mary J. Wana. Or cocaine. Or meth. Or hydrocodone. Or their antidepressant pills. You know, a drug, an illegal drug, and a legal drug is still a drug. Some people can't quit drinking. They're going to be caught as a drunkard when this snare traps. Sadly, most people are going to be caught without extra food, water, or any preparations when this goes down. And I'm going to tell you something. You do not, I don't care, people cannot like this or not, you do not want to be, if you can at all help it, you do not want to be in a major U.S. city, a large city, when this snare is triggered. Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Miami. They're going to become FEMA camps because they're just going to put a military guard around the perimeter. You see, the dream she had, it came to Miami, didn't it? I'm telling you. I know people right now, if they're making plans, if you're making plans to get out of a major city, you are hearing from God. Let's just put it that way. Unless God tells you, this is where I want you to be, where I want you to stay, you better get out. But again, this is part of, we should be a people, if we're born again Christians, we should be a people not caught by surprise. We should be a people led by the Holy Spirit. We should be discerning the time and season we're living in, and we should know where we should be. You better get some water purification. Just this week up in around Madison and Decatur, Alabama, they were told they couldn't drink the water. That's in Alabama. It's our state. It's not Flint, Michigan. What would happen to you tomorrow if they said you can't drink the Opelika water, which is pretty bad? Do you have water filtering system? Do you have another source of water? Do you have any extra food? Do you have any way to light your home if the power was out for a week, 2 weeks, a month? Do you have any way to protect your family? Do you have a firearm? Yes. Pastor, Christian, have a firearm. You come to hurt my family, I will defend them. Basic understanding of providing for your family, right? Don't be caught in the trap. You know, for some people, the best thing that ever happened to them is if the grid goes down. That way the TV and the phones and the internet will be shut off. And they might can get right with God for a little while. Right? Don't be caught in the trap. I got to get me some more of these. You know why I have these? So if I need to, I can trap squirrels and little animals to eat. Right? $8, $12, I think. Better start watching the Alaska shows like I do and get ready. Stan, this morning, what you got there? Oh yeah, here's let's play this. We'll play this real quick. Just the first part of it. This is I have a friend on my Facebook page, a lady in Australia. I think she's in Perth, somewhere around there. She posted this and tagged me on it, and this lady giving this prophetic word. And I did feel like this was you have to discern. There's a lot of people prophesying, but you got to discern what you feel like from the Lord. And here's when I heard from Grace down in Miami, the 14-year-old prophecy, and I heard this one just a few days before, I thought, well, God, you're speaking. Listen to what? Just listen to this real briefly, and we'll close out. Go ahead.
Okay, people. This morning I was in prayer, and something happened. I heard the voice of the Lord come to me really clear, and told me, I'm driving, I shouldn't be doing this, but I had to get this out here, told me that war was about to start on American soil. I would never do this before. You've never seen me do this before. All my friends that know me know I do not do this kind of stuff. So for me to get on here live, I've got to tell you, I heard in the spirit this morning that the war drums are sounding on our soil, and that if we will, in faith, begin to plead for mercy with Yahweh, He will have mercy on us. So I'm begging you, brothers and sisters, those that call themselves true believers, that you would begin to call on Yahweh right now and ask Him for mercy for not only yourself and your family, but for those that call, also our brothers and sisters that call themselves Christians, that we would get on our knees and begin to pray, because judgment's already here. The deciding factor for us as believers is going to be a call for mercy. He has not spared anybody. The Middle East is in complete chaos. He has not spared not one. He allowed it to happen. He said that Lucifer himself would make war with the saints. It is in that place right now. And Lucifer is now in control of the U.S., the United States of America, via Obama and whoever. I hope I'm live again. It keeps on breaking off of me. Okay, let me start again here from that point.
I wanted you to just hear that part. That's what we need to do. Multiple voices. That's what I was saying earlier. We have the scriptures. We have God speaking to some pastors and prophets, some young people, even some children. Faith has even had words about it. It's time to be ready, to get ready. There's nothing in this world. Listen, And this is something you need to hear what I'm saying. There's nothing in this world, no sexual sin, no idol, not for money, not for, having friends. There's nothing in this world that's worth putting it in front of Jesus so that you're not ready. And people need to see us. When these triggers happen, when the traps and the snares are sprung, they're going to be looking for people that have an answer. And the answer's got to be right. You can't tell them, believe in Jesus, and you're not going to go through anything difficult. No, the message is, you may have to give your life for this. You may have to give your life. You may lose everything. You may not be able to buy or sell. You may struggle. You may go through great persecution. You may be put in a prison. You may even be killed for your faith. But Jesus must be absolutely number one in your life. And if you love him, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you won't have an idol. You won't be in sexual sin. You won't be smoking marijuana. You won't be getting drunk. You won't be committing adultery. You won't be running after a boyfriend or a girlfriend and putting them first before God. You won't be putting everything, a TV show. You see what I'm saying? If you love Jesus because of what he's done for you on the cross, and you love him, you love God, and you understand that even if nothing I was saying today was true about the end times and where we're living and what's about to happen in this world, even if none of that was true, one thing we all know, guess what? The statistics are in. One out of every one dies at some point. And then what? You're going to gamble with all eternity, with eternal life? In hell or in heaven? Heaven's a real place. Jesus said the streets are made out of gold. There'll be mansions there and grass and flowers and animals and people that have believed in Jesus and gone before us, family members. My mom's there. I know my mom's there. I saw her there. She's there, though, because I spoke to her about repentance and believing in Jesus. But see, heaven is real, but hell is real too. You decide how your eternity is going to end up. And what's amazing is God has given us the ability to help others determine the right choice for eternity. Amen? Let's not waste our time. When Jesus appeared to me in a vision form, open vision, I saw heaven open. I saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the glory of God. I saw the Holy Spirit descend like a dove and hover over him. It was a real vision in October of 1987 at about 2 something in the morning. And the Lord spoke to me, and one of the things he told me was, waste no time, for you have little time left to spare. That was 29 years ago. What was he saying? If we had little time left to spare 29 years ago, what's left now? And I'm telling you, people can say it wasn't from God all the time. I was there. It was so strong and powerful, I thought I was about to be raptured out of here. And then when I realized it wasn't the rapture, because I had falsely been taught as a new believer, the pre-trib rapture, when I realized it wasn't the rapture, the presence and power of God was so strong, I had to tell the Lord to ease off, because I didn't think my body could take any more of sheer power. It wasn't painful, but it was intense. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. We are in the last days. Don't waste any time. And boy, did we waste time on foolish stuff. So, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, for your willingness and your desire to forgive us if we'll just confess our sins and turn from them. You so long for us to be ready for the day we die or when judgment comes, the last day comes. You so want us to make it to heaven. That's your desire. You have no desire for anyone to end up in hell for all eternity. That's not your desire. But you will not force anyone to obey or believe. They will make that choice. They will make the choice to be righteous and walk in righteousness or to be wicked and live in sin. That's the choices. We all fall down as Christians. But Lord, you said the righteous rise up again. We may fall seven times, but we rise up. We admit it. We confess it. We ask your forgiveness and we press on. Lord, I wish more and more people would find out your great love and your great desire to forgive them and wash their sins away and to give them eternal life in heaven forever. Please help us communicate that to people around us. Father, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Huh? I heard somebody say something. Let's stand. Patrick, if you would, sir, pray over the offering. If you have a tithe or an offering or a $1 million check, you can put it in the basket right back there. I promise you we'd use it for the gospel. I wouldn't even move out of my house. I'd stay right in it. If somebody wrote us a $1 million check tomorrow, I'd stay right where I am. I don't want a mansion. I want to get the gospel out. Amen? Would you pray over the offering?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the word, Father, that you have brought this morning to pass me. Lord, thank you for the tithe and offering, all opportunities, the doorways that you opened up to this word to travel around the world. God, we just pray, Father, that you continue to multiply the tithe and the offering and Lord, the monies that comes into each and every household here, Father, that each person gives, Lord, so we can continue reaching those far and close, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Y'all know the drill. Hug the next before you leave.